everyone wants to simplify their homeschool, right? If we simplify, everything will be easy, delightful, amazing. Simplifying will definitely solve all our problems. Hi, I'm Misty Winkler, homeschool mom and author of the book, The Convivial Homeschool: Gospel Encouragement for Keeping Your Sanity While Living and Learning Alongside Your Kids. And you know, living and learning alongside your kids is one kind of simple life. And on the other hand, it's not so simple. It kind of depends on what you mean by simple. When we homeschool, we take on a lot more responsibility. We add a lot more stuff to our homes, and we add a lot more stuff to our schedules. We don't homeschool well by simplifying the actual homeschool away. But there's a kind of simplifying that really does help. And that's the kind we're going to talk about today. So grab a basket of laundry to fold and let's dig in. Simplifying our homeschool sounds like the golden ticket, the answer or solution to the problems that we have. And maybe simplifying is the solution to the problem. It depends on what your problem is. And if your problem is tracking too many things, feeling overwhelmed by all the plates that you have to be spinning, making meals, doing laundry, cleaning the house, parenting the children, and educating them, that is a lot. That is a lot to do. It's a lot to keep track of. But when we look for answers to simplify or streamline or just make things work better, we don't want to act like the very worst version of our own students, our kids, who often are trying to get away with doing as little as possible. They do that because we do that. And if we're simplifying as a mask or a cloak for trying to do as little as possible and still get a passing grade, we're just going to keep floundering. We're operating in floundering mode at that point. Really, the best version of simplifying that we can apply to our lives comes when we unify everything under a single mission. Having a mission, a goal, a telos for all that we do, one unifying telos, helps us prioritize and filter and manage our own expectations. So it might sound like another thing to add, an extra layer, but knowing why we are doing home education in the first place, why we are pouring ourselves into our home and family at all, will shed light on what we really should be doing and what is an unrealistic expectation. Because just as much as we don't want to be doing as little as possible, we also don't want to be measuring ourselves by idealistic standards against which we never measure up. We don't want to plan for more than is actually possible so that our plans are never tenable. We do need to cut things back if we've made plans to do more than actually fit in a day. And unless we know what our goal is as homeschooling moms, we have no standard by which to cut some things and emphasize other things. So we really need to understand why we're homeschooling and how each thing that we do in our homeschool and in our homemaking for that matter supports that mission. So as we put together those checklists for our kids, and my free templates for making homeschool checklists are in the show notes still. But when you're putting together those checklists, just writing things down doesn't make them possible. We still have to be sure that we're being reasonable in our expectations, in the ask that we are making of our children. It's on us to determine a realistic plan for our homeschools. We can't do all the things. There are so many amazing programs, so many good options for what we might read or study or do, and no one family can do all the things. So we do have to simplify. We do have to make some decisions. Amongst all the good options, what should we in particular be doing in this particular moment? It's an exercise of wisdom. But it's our responsibility as the homeschool mom making these decisions to have a purpose for every single item on the checklist. Not just it seemed like a good idea at that time, but knowing that each and every item you are requiring of your students is for their good and is needed and necessary. When you are operating from the base, from the foundation that knows that everything on that checklist is reasonable and important, you're more confident to hold that line with your kid when your kid tries to get away with not doing what you assigned. If we're looking at a checklist that is full of all the seemingly good things, the first thing that we should cut in order to simplify is the busy work. Now, if we cut the busy work, we're going to be left with the work that's actually work. Those are the things we might be tempted to cut, the things that take effort from us. Because sometimes when we think we are wanting to simplify, we're actually just wanting to make our life easier and more convenient. But if we pare down if what we cut is the busy work, we are left with the work that really makes a difference and that we as the homeschool mom are willing to hold the line on with our kids. If some of the work on their checklist really doesn't matter and they can argue their way out of it and you'll let them off the hook, they're going to keep arguing. And that's not going to set you up for a smooth or happy homeschool day. So when you're looking at the work and you're wondering if the work is busy work, ask yourself, in 10 years, will I look back and say, I'm glad we did that? Filling out a work page? Probably not. Writing a paragraph narration every single day? Probably so. That's the kind of work that builds skill with small bits of practice. But filling out crossword puzzles or craft projects or fill-in-the-blank tests, multiple choice tests, is that helping them learn? Is that creating something? Is that really furthering their education? Or is it just checking someone else's boxes to say we did what the curriculum said that we should do? In 10 years' time, you will not regret reading good books, writing, and learning important skills. And even when it comes to the skills, we don't want to continue to practice them beyond the point where it's helpful. If you have a high school student writing one paragraph narrations the exact same way as a 10-year-old, you're not really getting anywhere. We need to be requiring more of the older student. Now, say a 10 to 12-year-old probably doesn't need to be practicing his handwriting even anymore in the same way that a third grader does. Even though his handwriting might not be at the standard that you would like, at this point, it is what it is until he decides of himself that he would like it to improve, which I will tell you, it really does happen, but never when it's mom's idea. The time for that is first, second, and third grade. If your kid's already a decent speller, you don't need to bother with a spelling curriculum. Be sure you have a purpose and a reason for your particular child to be doing each and everything you put on his and your checklist. This will make you a confident homeschool mom who can withstand the argumentation of her stubborn 12-year-old. The other great thing to do is to plan with a time budget to help keep your plan realistic. How much time do you think each item should take you or your student or your whole group together? Add some buffer time to that for the less than ideal day. Add margin and transition time between subjects, and then see, does this work actually logistically fit in your real day between appointments or lessons or other things you have on the calendar? Get a time budget, put it on paper, and see how it actually fits. I know my first iteration of a homeschool plan for the year often contains too much. I have all the good ideas, and all the good ideas don't fit in a real week. So we have to make hard decisions and come up with a plan that fits in the time we have, that prioritizes the work that really matters. A time budget is a visual way to work that out. When I give my teens their own checklist at the beginning of a school year, I will also hand them their own time budget. Tell them the hard lines of the day, like when we have appointments, when we have meals, things that they can't rearrange, but they need to plan around, and say, now look at this checklist. You estimate how long each of these things will take you, and look at how it's going to fit. Try some logistics out. When would you like to do your math? How does your other work fit around that? It's a great exercise for homeschool moms and kids learning those beginning time management skills for themselves, which is realistically something like 14 and up. And if you need more help with figuring out your homeschool and clarifying your purpose in homeschooling, then check out my course, Art of Homeschooling, found inside Convivial Circle. It will help you make over your homeschool atmosphere, focus your homeschool motivation and mindset on the things that matter most, so that you can put relationships before those checklists. Live community support and encouragement is included so that you can ask questions, get feedback, and really dig in and apply the material. That's Art of Homeschooling. You can find it at simplyconvivial.com/AOH for Art of Homeschooling, AOH, or find the link in the show notes. It will help you to repent, rejoice, repeat in your homeschool.